It's time for Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio. A look at everything that's golden in the Golden Heart City. From tours and trails to must-see sights and adventures. Brought to you by Explore Fairbanks. Located in the Morris Thompson Cultural Center in downtown Fairbanks. Now, here's the crew from Explore Fairbanks.
Well, good afternoon. Hello, everyone. This is Bill Wright. I am with Explore Fairbanks, and today we happen to be debuting our very first Explore Fairbanks radio show, and we're so excited to have as our guest here joining us, the CEO of Explore Fairbanks, Mr. Scott McCrae. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you, Bill, and good afternoon, everyone. Very excited to be having our debut show here with you this afternoon. Looking forward to what we're attempting to do with these new Explore Fairbanks radio show is really, as I said in the intro, talking all things tourism pertaining to the Golden Heart City. So to get the residents of Fairbanks an opportunity to learn more about the rich and vibrant visitor industry that we have here in Fairbanks, the stories behind the people who are in the industry, the stories of the visitors who come here. So we hope to make it informative and perhaps even entertaining from time to time.
Yes, and we also hope to be able to have lots of different content over the next year or so where we have information that you want to hear. And we're going to start this one out with some very basics. We want to start with what is Explore Fairbanks all about? What's the visitor industry in Fairbanks all about? And that's partly why we brought Mr. Scott McCrae in with us today. Scott, could you start off just by getting into the what exactly is Explore Fairbanks?
Well, a lot of people in Fairbanks, who've been here a while, might recall the Fairbanks Convention and Visitors Bureau, which was what we were incorporated as back in 1977, and then changed our name to a more easier-to-pronounce name back in about 14 years ago to Explore Fairbanks. And at the basics of what we do is we sell Fairbanks. Our job is to sell Fairbanks as a visitor destination to visitors literally from around the world. We have a variety of different tactics that we do to do that, but it's our job to be the people who are selling Fairbanks. And we also like to think of ourselves as the storytellers of Fairbanks. We are the ones who are telling the story of the amazing year-round destination that we have here in Fairbanks, with that goal of bringing visitors here who make significant impacts to our economy here in Fairbanks.
Well, and also we like to refer to our industry as the visitor industry, or even, you know, we kind of had that in our name even before the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And why do we do that as opposed to calling it the tourist industry, Scott?
Well, I think, you know, a tourist has a certain connotation to it. Probably a lot of people who think of, you know, the tourism industry, the visitor industry to Fairbanks, however you want to describe it, they think of just tourists as being people are coming here. They see them on the motor coaches in downtown Fairbanks or driving their RVs around. But really, the visitor industry comprises so much more than that in terms of audiences. So a big one that residents of Fairbanks are probably aware of is what we call the visiting friends and relatives market. So a lot of people here in Fairbanks, they've got those relatives and friends in the lower 48. They say, oh, summertime, we want to come up here and visit you. Those are visitors. Those are new people coming into Fairbanks, bringing new dollars into the economy. So there's that market. There's business travelers. You know, people who are coming here on business, whether it be from Anchorage or for the lower 48, those are technically visitors. They're coming in from outside, spending new dollars here into the community. And then we have a whole range of other types of markets within that industry. A big one for us in Fairbanks here is international markets. And we'll be talking in other shows about the importance of the international visitor industry and the different types of international markets that Explore Fairbanks works with to try to bring here to our destination.
And the many different ways that people visit here in Fairbanks. So you can fly in, you can drive in, like you say, business travelers, even RVs, road traffic, and so on. Can you talk a little bit about the different types of means of transportation, how people get here?
Certainly. Well, yeah, you kind of listed them out there. You know, a big one that we like to talk about, because when we talk about the benefits of the visitor industry here to Fairbanks, there's, of course, in terms of the economy, but we also like to talk about quality of life. So a good example of that, and as it pertains to what Bill was just talking about, is air service. So a lot of people come to Fairbanks, you know, year-round by way of airlines. Those airlines that come here to Fairbanks, especially the new ones that come up in the summer, so right now we have, you know, direct service with Delta Airlines, Minneapolis to Fairbanks, United Airlines, Chicago to Fairbanks, and the one we're especially proud of is Condor Air, doing service from Frankfurt to Fairbanks. Those airlines are coming here because of the visitor industry. If we didn't have a robust visitor industry, those airlines would not be making the decision to come here to Fairbanks. As a result of those efforts, those airlines being here, residents benefit from that too. I'm sure there's lots of people out there who take advantage of those flights for the opportunity to connect with the lower 48, or of course, like we mentioned, that great service we have with Condor over to Frankfurt. So airline, as we mentioned, highway traffic, people are coming up in RVs from the U.S. through Canada. And then there's the cross-Gulf Alaska cruise land tours. So we like to jokingly refer to ourselves as Fairbanks being the farthest north cruise port, even though cruise ships are not coming up the Chena River.
Right.
Wouldn't work too well, but we have what we call cross-Gulf of Alaska cruises. So those are the cruise ships that go up through the Inside Passage and will dock at Seward or Whittier. People can then take land tour packages, and that'll bring them up here to Denali and Fairbanks. And in past years, that's comprised about 40% or so of our summer visitors. So those are the primary means there. Then, of course, we have the wonderful Alaska Railroad, mm-hmm. who's our sponsor of this month's program. You know, people who take the train right up from Anchorage as well.
That's right. And later on this month, we'll be hearing from the CEO of the Alaska Railroad. That'll be exciting.
That'll be great.
Program
yeah.
as well. So besides the ways to get here, if I'm a resident, local resident, and I notice kind of different types of people, what different countries are people coming from and different parts of the U.S. are people coming from here in Fairbanks?
Sure. Well, yeah, let's touch upon the international markets. You know, kind of one of our primary international markets, and this is why we have Condor Air providing that service from Frankfurt. And this has been a huge international market for us many years now, and that's the German-speaking Europe region. That's one that's been in existence here in Fairbanks for well over 20, 30-plus years. With that market, they're primarily summertime visitors. We've been pleased with the numbers that we see from that market over the years. Traditionally, going back to the pre-COVID years, you know, big international market for us were the Asian market. So probably a lot of people recall how well the Japan market was doing here in Fairbanks, especially as it pertains to the winter Aurora market. In fact, the Japan market was really one of the first markets that really ushered in Aurora tourism, winter mm-hmm. tourism here for Fairbanks. It was a pretty significant numbers back in the day. And then, of course, we had mainland China, which was one that was a pretty big one also in those pre-COVID years. Lots of things have changed internationally since the pandemic. Those markets are ones that are kind of the slowest to come back to. So we've pivoted, as we like to say in the industry, and are exploring new international markets to include Latin America and India. And when we're making decisions to go after different international markets, we look at national forecasts. We see, okay, what are the international markets that are showing the strongest return of travel coming to the U.S.? Our job is to make sure that we reach into that market through a variety of ways and make sure that Fairbanks is in their minds as a place to come to when they're making their decision to come to the United States.
Right, and also that have the highest interest in Alaska in particular as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and we did notice that. We get a lot of data from different sources, U.S. Travel Association, Brand USA, and those. They do give us that updated data on what the sentiment is in each of those countries, correct?
Exactly, yeah, and that's a big thing, you know, when we're making our marketing decisions. I mean, we're very strategic. You know, in our efforts, you know, we pay close attention to what the national trends are, both in terms of international travel and domestic travel, to make the decisions of, okay, of these different markets that are out there in this huge world that we live in, which ones make the most sense for Fairbanks for us to invest our marketing endeavors into.
And of those domestic traffic, people from the U.S., people coming in to Alaska from the U.S., what are our top markets? What would you say the top three markets are from the lower 48?
Yeah, probably the big one is the Pacific Northwest market. So Washington, Oregon, and California is one of our primary ones. We're seeing a lot of growth in some of the southern regions, you know, countries, states such as Georgia and others are starting to rise up there. Texas is a big one, and then the Midwest region. So, and that's, if you look at that, we try to make that connection between what are our primary, what are the best potential domestic markets as we work with the airport to bring new air service in. You know,
sure.
We can show our, say, this is where people are coming from. And that's why we have, you know, again, going back to Delta with their flights from Minneapolis to Fairbanks. That's been, we've had that service for a number of years now. That's because within that region, that's a big market for us.
And the same then with Chicago with that nonstop.
Exactly.
United.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any forecast or any information about what's the interest in other parts of the U.S.? Kind of like you mentioned Georgia. Are there other states where things are beginning to pick up and there seems to be a more increase in interest in visiting Fairbanks?
I would say, yeah, there's, I mean, we try to monitor this to the best extent that we can. So I think within the East Coast is one that we've seen growth in over the years. But I'd say probably that could we now have the opportunity to get a better sense through some research that we're doing to track and monitor what are some of the different states, what parts of the U.S. are visitors coming from. And looking at that southern region, there's like I said, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, some of those southern states, not necessarily as big in numbers as the core, Pacific Northwest, but they're ones that are starting to move in a more positive direction that we're tracking on.
Yeah. Now, and it also kind of, like you mentioned, the South. I'm guessing that a lot of that, maybe some of that is being driven into the winter tourism, because Fairbanks is a year-round destination.
Yeah.
After all these years, thanks to the Aurora, thanks to the wonderful winter activities that we have available here, and also great accommodations and indoor activities to do year-round. Do you see a specific tie between winter tourism and those southern states?
Yeah, I think we've been noticing that over the last couple of years, and in terms of, like I said, the data that we've been tracking on, and what we know from our different tourism partners, and over at the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center, where are the visitors specifically coming from? And I'm glad you brought up that point about us being a year-round destination, because I think that's something that people in Fairbanks should be very proud of. Is we have a lot of destinations within Alaska, especially in the southeast region where I'm originally from. Their primary focus is it's summer, it's cruise. It's May to September, although now the cruise season is kind of expanding, so it's almost late April to mid-October now. But that's it. That's the months of the year where they have visitors coming, and the rest of the year it's pretty quiet for them. But here in Fairbanks, we're very fortunate for a number of years now. We have a very robust year-round destination, and that, of course, as you mentioned, we're very fortunate that we have the Northern Lights, which is a bucket list item for so many people around the world that brings people here during the winter months when other destinations in Alaska are pretty quiet. And there's a lot of envy out there from our colleagues there that we do so well on a year-round basis. And that's something that, again, Explore Fairbanks worked very hard on developing over the last 20 years or so.
Now, what would you say the percentage then is of, say, winter versus the midnight sun season or the summer season volume?
It has been for years. The summer season has always been our midnight sun season, as we call it, has always been the highest in terms of overall volume. But we've seen bigger growth within the winter months. And it's reached a point now where I think just this last year, and looking at tracking the statistics from the Fairbanks International Airport, their arrivals and departures, the numbers for the summer months, May to September, compared to the January to April, October to December timeframe, we're almost even. So I think we're reaching I think we're going to be reaching a point here now over the next couple of years where numbers of winter visitors will exceed the summer visitors. And the good thing about winter visitors, twofold, is in the summertime, a lot of people who are coming to Fairbanks, we're not the only destination in Alaska they're coming to.
Right.
They're here for their Alaska summer vacation. So they're seeing as much of the state as they can. As a result of that, they're just spending maybe a couple days here in Fairbanks before they, head on down south, other parts of the state. With the winter market, Fairbanks is, for the most part, that's their primary destination. They're just coming to Fairbanks. This is where they're coming because they know we're the best place in the world to see the Northern Lights.
Right.
So they want to stay in Fairbanks as long as possible to try to get the best chance to see the Northern Lights. As a result, they're spending more money here within the local economy at restaurants, gift shops, tour excursions, and more. So the winter market brings a lot to Fairbanks in terms of that overall economic impact.
Well, that's excellent to hear that we have that kind of growth going on, and I think the numbers do show that, and maybe even our locals will notice an uptick in activity that goes on year-round. We are going to actually take a break now. We're not doing this in a vacuum. We have support from partners that have helped us bring this this show to life. And so we're going to take a little break here from our sponsor. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what's going on with funding for Explore Fairbanks and how is that done. And you'll also be able to give us maybe some more information about why the visitor industry is so important, not just to Fairbanks, but to Alaska. So we'll be right back after this word from our sponsor.
We will continue to explore Fairbanks right after this short message from our sponsors.
This summer, we're celebrating 100 years of the Alaska Railroad. With daily departures and special deals, there's never been a better time to ride the rails than today. Right now, you can book a day trip and be on your way to some of Alaska's most iconic destinations and be back the same day. Traveling by train means stress-free, easy riding for the whole group. Come ride the rails to Talkeetna, to Denali, today. Find more destinations and book now at AlaskaRailroad.com.
All aboard!
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m. And Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now back to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio.
All right, we are back and we are here with Explore Fairbanks. We're talking with the CEO of Explore Fairbanks, Mr. Scott McRae. My name is Bill Wright. I'm also a person that is part of the team at Explore Fairbanks. And you know, we're trying to have a conversation here, really just to introduce our listeners to what is going on in the visitor industry, why it's important, maybe really give you that setup for what this next year is going to look like for this Explore Fairbanks program. We're so excited to be able to have it and bring it to our listeners, and we hope that you'll be able to share it with others. You can also share our website if you want to find out more, maybe for some of those visiting friends and relatives, and that would be at explorefairbanks.com. Very simple. In fact, that name predates our name change. The website was the beginning of changing our name from FCVB, Fairbanks Convention and Visitors Bureau, to Explore Fairbanks.
Which was 10 years ago.
Which, yes. Oh, yes. That's right, Scott. It was 10 years ago earlier. I think we said 14, but it was in 2014 when it was changed. But yeah, it's about 10 years ago that we've simplified the name. And it's a lot like around the country and around the world, you find that the CVB concept, or in some cases, Chambers of Commerce and so on, those visitor associations all change their name to something a little bit more friendly and inviting, and even calls to action like explore or visit or discover and things like that.
Or in the case of Matsu, it's Yahoo Matsu, which we've never quite understood, but
Yahoo. Yeah. So they love what they do down there.
That's good branding.
And it's perfect because it kind of echoes off the mountains down there when you say it out loud. So speaking of, I wanted to sort of pick up from where we left off, where we were talking about Fairbanks as a year-round destination and kind of how we're envied by our colleagues around the state, because when you're here in Fairbanks, then you see that, oh, it's summertime, I'm seeing more maybe some more motor coaches around. I'm seeing maybe longer waits at restaurants and things like that. Maybe it's harder to get a hotel room or something for your visiting friends and relatives. But also maybe there's a same kind of uptick that's happening in the wintertime, but it's really hasn't reached that level that in some destinations, not just even in Alaska, but even parts of the U.S. Yeah. And even the world, where things swell so much during those peak seasons that there's a word out there for it called over-tourism.
Yeah.
Do you think that that is even approaching a problem here in Fairbanks? And also maybe what's the difference between, say, Southeast Panhandle with those cruise passengers and what the visitor impact is down there versus what the visitor impact here is in Fairbanks?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think we're approaching an overcapacity, overload type of situation here in Fairbanks just because we have such a vast area where our visitors are coming to. Like you mentioned, yeah, in the summertime, you'll notice, you know, some motor coaches downtown. You might have some waits for getting into your favorite restaurant, but, you know, by and large, there's not that same impact here within Fairbanks as you're talking about, you know, say Southeast Alaska. You know, they get three or four cruise ships in on one day and the town's population quadruples almost. So see that. So they see an impact there where some residents, you know, they're, I think there's frustrations, you know, with them, although they understand why this is so important for their region. That's a great thing here about Fairbanks is, I mean, by and large, our residents here very supportive of the visitor industry. You know, they see the positive impact. I think there's kind of a pride that we have here within the Golden Heart City that's a badge of honor that this place that we call home, you know, people from around the world dream, you know, to come here. So in terms of numbers, and yes, you do see a difference. You know, summertime is when you'll see more of the RVs and the motor coaches. Winter is more independent travelers, so it's not as evident in the wintertime as it is in the summertime.
Yeah, sure. And I one of the things I heard over the last few years, especially post-pandemic, is that when we had those different charters in, like, from Japan or from China and so on, the visibility of the average visitor was very high because they look different from us.
Very much so.
Yeah, and then with all the domestic travel that's been going on, as the international's been cooling off to the side a little bit, it hasn't been so evident about who's a visitor and who's not.
Exactly. Yeah, your domestic traveler, you know, Joe and Mary from Minnesota who are coming here for a winter, you know, vacation, is a lot different than back pre-pandemic when you would have, you know, motor coaches of visitors from Japan here. You know, that stands out more than what we have with the domestic travel. But even like I said before, we're talking about, you know, those Asian markets were so big ones for winter tourism. They still weren't our biggest numbers. The domestic markets still superseded the international ones with winter visitation. It just, that was said, they weren't as evident, as visible in the community as those international markets were.
Sure. Well, let's go back to the Fairbanks 101, Explore Fairbanks 101. Tell us a little bit about, maybe a little more detail about how we go about attracting people here to Fairbanks. Because there's a lot of competition out there, not only in the state, but all over the world, even in the U.S. I mean, when we're on the international market, we're competing with New York City, we're competing with Orlando, places, big places like that. What sets us apart and what do we do to attract people to come to Fairbanks of all places?
Sure. I think it's, you know, it's important, Bill, for people to realize sometimes there's a perception out there that Fairbanks in Alaska is a destination that so many people dream about. You don't need to market. You don't need to do any type of marketing to them. And that's simply not the case. I think especially here in Fairbanks, you know, I'll give a good example as it pertains to what we've done in Aurora Tourism is we're competing on a global level with some pretty big-time Aurora international, especially international destinations that have marketing budgets that far exceed ours. So
absolutely,
we're talking about countries, total countries like, you know, Iceland, that they're marketing themselves
Norway.
That's their primary marketing message, you know, as a country is, you know, being an Aurora destination. So here we are, a small town within the state of Alaska, within the United States. You know, we're going up against those powerhouses. So we've made great progress in that. You know, it's all about, you know, repetition, making sure you stay to what the primary message is about why Fairbanks is one of the best places to come see the Northern Lights. So being consistent with our messaging and just trying to find every opportunity we can to work within those different markets that we know the Aurora visitors are coming from. And the tactics, you know, they range. So you're, you know, on the tourism and meeting sales side, you know, the focus of your department is on travel trade. So tour operators and travel agents. So maybe you could
One-to-one business meetings, you know, making sure that we connect those travel trade professionals with our local partners, even to the extent of bringing our partners with us to various events and trade shows and activities that we do around the year. But yes, those kinds of business relationships to, you know, B2B relationships are very strong. And then we do have the B2C with our website, with lots and lots of advertising where we can afford it and get that out as well, right?
Sure. And another one too. Yeah, on the communication side, obviously we have our wonderful website at explorefairbanks.com. We know a lot of residents go to that website to find out what's happening, what to see and do here, but also on the media side, working with travel media. So we bring within our communications department, we work to bring travel journalists here to Fairbanks to explore the area, then go back and write articles, you know, doing blog postings, etc. And that type of media is some of the best media we can get. You know, we can do advertising, but nothing beats being able to get, you know, a feature story in Travel and Leisure about Fairbanks as a destination. And fortunately, we have so many stories to tell here, it's pretty easy to get travel journalists to come here and go back and write that great content that's going to help us out.
Right. And even speaking of that, this is kind of one of our outreach moments here with this Explore Fairbanks radio show, which means that we can put some information out there that you might be interested, listeners, where you would hear from maybe a media representative, a travel media person. Maybe you'll hear from a travel trade professional. Maybe you'll hear from our partners. We know you'll hear from our partners. That's part of what we're doing here.
Yeah. As well as visitors. So our plan with the show, exactly, too, is, you know, at least, you know, once a month is have an actual visitor who came to Fairbanks, and we'll do an interview with them and talk about their experiences here, you know, why they came here, what their overall impressions were. And I think that's going to be exciting stories to be able to tell from those people who, you know, lifelong dream to come to Fairbanks, Alaska. They came here, they experienced it. Now let's talk to them about what exactly they did while they were here and what
exactly
their thoughts are.
What they enjoyed. Those will be fun. Now, we don't have a whole lot of time here, but I did want to touch on one of the big issues that's been floating around the last 6 to 8 months or so, and that's the issue of bed tax. Would you mind explaining quickly, if you can, what the way that Explore Fairbanks is funded and the role and purpose that bed tax plays in those funding efforts?
Boy, quickly, huh?
Yeah,
we'll
quickly,
try to do a quick nutshell version. 1 minute version there. So within the hotel, the lodging industry here in Fairbanks, the hotels and short-term rentals collect what is known as a bed tax for the visitors that come here. It's an 8% tax. Those revenues are collected by the City of Fairbanks, the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and the City of North Pole. And the whole purpose of why bed tax was introduced in the first place here was it was a request made by the industry. The goal of the bed tax was to be reinvested back into tourism marketing and economic development to be used to bring more visitors to Fairbanks. And it really, when you think about a bed tax as a local resident, this is a tax that you, as a resident of Fairbanks, you do not pay. Now, I know there's some people out there, you know, might do a staycation at a local hotel or an Airbnb, but by and large, that tax is being paid for by people who are coming from outside the Fairbanks North Star Borough. So it makes perfect sense that those taxes would be used to bring more visitors here to Fairbanks. And that's how bed tax across the country is used for. So those bed tax revenues account for about 90% of our overall budget. And that's the nutshell version. This is a topic we could probably spend a lot more time on because there's other questions pertaining to bed tax. Question people have is, well, shouldn't bed tax also be used for keeping the streets plowed and paying for public safety officers, et cetera, because visitors need those same type of service as well. So there's others there that we could kind of go into more detail on at a later interview.
Yes, we're so happy to have started this program. We have several of them coming up over the next weeks, moving into the next year. Once a week, 1:30. We hope that you will listen, but we'd also like to hear from you. What would you? Who would you like us to be talking to on the program? Just reach us at info@explorefairbanks.com. You can let us know who you'd like to hear from at Explore Fairbanks. And Scott, thank you for joining us today. I know that you'll be one of our hosts from time to time, and we'll also have we'll be speaking with our partners and the folks that are helping us keep this program going. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you all again next week.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
You have been listening to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past shows, simply log on to our website and click on the archives page. Explore Fairbanks has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.